Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Welcome, everyone, to our last episode of the season on friendships. We've been talking all about everything about friendships we could think of. I'm sure there's more, but, you know, we covered a lot of ground, I think, this season. And we wanted to do kind of a, I don't know, kind of an organic, free-flowing episode, although they are turning out to be a whole lot more organic than sometimes I think. But a really free-flowing episode on kind of the evolution of our friendship and how it sort of holds up to some of the things we've been talking about this season and kind of just generally where it might go in the future.
So we're going to do, oh, good. This will be interesting. Do you already have it mapped out?
No, I don't. I thought maybe we could talk about that as the evolution, right? Like the changing dynamics and things, like a lot's happened. I mean, we can sort of take everybody through kind of a historical snapshot of kind of where we started, where we've been and where we are, I think. It's kind of a cool thing. But I mean, our 5-year friendiversary is on July 4th. And maybe
that's about a month away.
Yep. You can tell everybody, what do I do every year on our friendiversary?
Send me a card that's a romantic card with all the romantic things crossed out and the friendship things are put in. Do you send it to me or you hand deliver
it? I usually give it to you, deliver it to you.
And I say, oh my God, I totally forgot.
Every year you say that. And then, I know. Yeah.
I've already forgotten since we started this conversation.
Oh my goodness. Maybe on
if it is not written down in front of me.
Put it in your phone. It's 10 year. Get me a doily or something. What are you supposed
to do? A doily.
I don't know what happens. Paper. That's, yeah. Okay. Get me a doily.
Pewter.
Pewter. Or you could just get me a wad of pewter. That's probably worth a lot. Exactly. I was going to say a doily's cheap, but I don't even know where you get a doily these days.
I don't know. I'll send you some GIFs.
Oh, I'm sure you will. Send me a GIF doily. anyways, all right. Well, let's, you know, we know that we've had people who are sort of avid listeners on the show who have listened from start to finish, and they've gotten to hear a lot about our connection over the years. And they've gotten to witness it unfold as we've been recording this over the years as well. So not just storytelling. But maybe we could just couch it in terms of friendship and just really kind of focusing in on that as our topic and our friendship that has evolved. So I don't know. Do you want to start with kind of where we started, what your first impressions were, which I know what they were. I'm going to roll my eyes, but you can tell everybody and remind them. And then
when you set the stage that way,
I have to, so that people don't think that it's the first time you're telling me about your first impression of me.
I see. We did talk for what, an hour, but I thought you were really uptight and East Coast. I believe my thought was uptight East Coast professor.
Okay, but if I was that uptight and kind of like,
well, we wouldn't have talked for an hour.
Yeah, why would we have talked for an hour? Why wouldn't you have just like walked away? One thing I've learned about you is you never stay anywhere you don't want to stay. So you were getting something out of that conversation.
Yeah, we had a great conversation about Naked and Afraid, the TV show. Hence my name in your book, Naked and Afraid. And we were both in a miserable kind of state of mind at this very not our kind of place party. And that's why I started talking to you, because you did have a shirt or hat on that said, I think it was the shirt said, I love hiking. And so that's why I talked to you also. Like, I had to get away from the back. I was on my way out the door. Okay. That's right. Also something I'm known for, being on the way out the door and then being there. People are like, I thought you were leaving an hour ago. And I'm like, oh yeah, I got sidetracked. So yes, it was a good conversation. Even though I thought you were uptight, but I kept like thinking, why'd she loosen up? What's her problem? Little did I know you were suffering from your heartache, and everyone should read the story in the book because it's quite sad. And I always forget, like, gosh, that was really, if I had known that day, like if you had told me that, like I'd have been so sad for you. Like it was rough. Mine was an amicable divorce. You know what I mean? So I was going through an amicable, it was amicable at the time. It later became, the divorce was amicable.
Right.
After the divorce, I think there were exterior forces, but it became unamicable, which is really weird because during the divorce, it was fine. But that was the thing, is I went to the party, not because I was not sad at all about the divorce. Like, that sounds mean, but it's true. What I was I had been, well, I'd been living in North Carolina and then I moved here. And I think I'd only been here for a couple of years, but I was living in more of a suburban environment of straight people. So it was mostly mm-hmm. like straight people. It wasn't lesbians. It wasn't people that I would naturally hang out with. I mean, I think at the time I was playing pickleball with a bunch of octogenarians. And so that was my only social outlet, you know. So the time that I got divorced, it was pretty much just playing pickleball with octogenarians, who are awesome and very cool, but it was older, kind of wealthier, straight people, you know? So I was kind of a weird anomaly. And so my friend was like, go to a party, find something to do. And I told her about that party because I think it was advertised on a Facebook group. It was mm-hmm. like lesbians over 50 or something. So I went, it was not my scene. I'm just not into that drinking and bobbing around topless in a pool with like 80 people there. So I was like, I am leaving. I was sitting with my neighbors. My neighbors were there and I was talking to them. And then I was like, I cannot do this. Like, I was going to freak out. So then I didn't even see you outside, but it's funny because we now have a picture of that very perspective because somebody else had taken a picture. You're in their profile pic for some reason.
Right.
For whatever reason, yeah. You're like sitting behind her. So I have proof that you had a shirt because when I said, do you like hiking? You were like, oh yeah. What? Like I was a stalker. I'm like, oh my God, it says it right on your shirt.
I know. I was in such a hard place that day. And I'm like, I had made my way around, like they had a bunch of food tables sort of shoved in a corner. And I made my way around to like the backside of one of them and you came running up to me and was like, do you like a gig? And I was like, ah, and I was like trapped behind the table. And so I just was kind of discombobulated at that time. And
it's so funny. I know you describe it as if I like pounced on you, but I was on my way out the door. That's the thing is like, I was like, there is nobody here I have anything in common with. This is just depressing, mm-hmm. gross. People are drunkards and I'm just mm-hmm. I'm not a party person. I do not do parties. I don't do it. I don't like it. And I was just like, this is so not my place. So then when you had a shirt that said hiking and I'm an avid hiker, I was like, great. Mm-hmm. I believe you described it as I bounded over to you and like trapped you, but you're eating this food. Thank God. I probably saved you from getting salmonella.
Well, yeah, I didn't get to eat all the way around the table, good. Only from that one area right there. But
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had
that
a good.
I saved your life.
Maybe so. We did have a good conversation. We really did. And then we intended to keep. Well, sort of. You asked if I was on Facebook and I was like, no, I'm not on Facebook. And then I asked if you were on LinkedIn and you're like, ha, no. And then we're like, okay, bye. And then
we didn't exchange numbers. Uh-uh. I realized that. I know because that probably would have been seen by either one of us. Just so every listener knows, neither one of us have ever been interested in the other. We've hiked a lot together. We've hung out together. We do a podcast. But now and never have we ever been interested in each other. And
exactly.
So probably
including that day, there was nothing.
Yeah, no. In fact, we have text. I called my friend and I said, the only person I met was this uptight professor from the East Coast. And you texted a friend and said, oh, maybe I made a new friend, but no relationship potential. And we have right. that in text.
So, right. We do have proof of that on that day.
But interestingly, so maybe we didn't want to seem like creeps is why I didn't say. But also, it's kind of safer in my world to like, I'm one of those people that will friend anybody on Facebook. And then if they turned out to be, you know, dangerous or creepy, I'd just get rid of them. Whereas other people don't do that. So for me, I would have friended you on Facebook that day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we were on two very different platforms of where we connect with people.
Yes.
And so we didn't, but it was like, what was it? Maybe 6 weeks later, I was hosting a meetup and you RSVP'd to go.
Yeah, and I cannot remember if I was like, oh, that's that chick from the party. But interestingly, what I do remember is we did go to the walk, but then we sat at the coffee shop afterwards with several other people, and you and I were like on the same page on a lot of important things. And I did think, oh, she's not as uptight as I thought.
Yeah, because it had been 6 weeks. And by that point, my ex and I had broken up. She'd repartnered. She'd bought a house and was on her way to a marriage proposal. So a lot happened during that period
In
of time.
6 weeks. I don't
And
even
I
think it
just
was
was like,
6 weeks.
okay. It was, yeah. And so
It might, what is mid
it was big.
August that would have put it at? I don't know.
So maybe even, no, because we did July 4th. So it was like, maybe it
Yeah.
was beginning of September. So it might have been 2 months, about 2 months.
No, it wasn't
Was
that
it?
long. No, but it
Maybe
was
6 weeks.
like, yeah. And I was like, oh, she's not as uptight as I thought. And so probably then I heard the whole story and, you know.
Yeah, the whole thing and why I was in such a bad place that day and
But
and
interestingly, the genesis, I think, well, okay, so that was like the beginning of the friendship, but it then got really crazy with the spiritual stuff, with this stuff, because in like October or so, a month or two after we met, you went to the first psychic, and then you called me and you're like, I have to come over and tell you everything. And then I called her right then, and I told her a friend named like Jennifer or Vanessa sent me because I didn't want her knowing that we knew each other,
Oh,
the
yeah.
psychic. I was trying to trick the psychic. And then I went, and you know, again, I would never have set foot in that house based on the looks of it from the outside. I didn't think I'd come back out alive. And so you had been there already. So I'm like, okay, I'll go in. And then that kind of started us on our whole like spiritual
Like
journey. I
journey,
mean, you had a lot of repressed stuff from childhood of like not wanting to let in, like the way you get information is through dreams, you know, and that like stuff scared you as a kid. And so you kind of push that aside. And then I've always had what I consider to be like claircognizant, just knowing stuff. And I didn't develop it or do anything with it. So at the time that we met, it was like an opening. It was like a portal to a world of like so much more understanding of what we're dealing with here.
Well, you remember what even happened before that. It was in second week of September, I think it was, when I went to that tarot lady and she drew the card of the lawyer card. And she's like, do you know a lawyer? I'm like, I know one lawyer and I just met her. And so it was like right around the same time. It was just right shortly after the walk that
And
we
she
did.
said, she's going to be very important in your life and you need to listen to her. And then you called me and said, do you think this, you're the lawyer? And I said,
I know.
yes, yeah, of course I am.
And that
And you
might have
better
been the first
listen to
time
me.
we even talked on the phone. We had texted a few
Yeah.
times and stuff, and I think I was just so overwhelmed. I called you from the parking lot, and then you're like, "Of course it's me." And then after that, it kind of unfolded, and I was doing some more of the spiritual work, and and in the meantime, I was really struggling with this breakup so much so. And for whatever reason, you and I kind of connected around that, and you were the confidant, right, the whole time. Like,
Right.
every time something would happen, I would call you, I would text you, we'd hike it out, and it kept unfolding and unfolding and unfolding until, it got to a point where then the spiritual stuff was sort of coalescing with the hiking. And I mean, we did
Right.
Grand
Well,
Canyon in
and
November, and I mean, we did a lot of that
yeah.
stuff together.
But I would have never done that psychic thing. I wouldn't have gone there. Like that psychic is, she is legit. I mean, she is legit. Okay. And so, like, that was for me, that was a turning point in my life of like having those kind of people advise me on what to do. Because then I went from that time that we met, three tumultuous, very short-lived, very tumultuous situations or relationships, you know? And so, their input in all of that, in addition to my therapist, in addition to my friends, was so helpful. And it resolved so many things in my life, you know?
And I mean, you were opening that portal at the same time as I was. I mean,
Right.
I went to an intuitive development coach and I was manifesting and all this stuff. And I was sharing all of that with you as I was doing it. And then the psychic was the point at which you sort of jumped on board with all of it. And then you started manifesting and, you know, we were open to all of these things.
But then we started going places together because we went to the tarot card reader together. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, I cannot, like, she stopped the session twice to say that we have been together in the early 1900s. We were a female couple. And then we had other people, totally independent of that person, say a lot of stuff about our past lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And none of it ever seemed untrue to me.
No, it was like, oh, that explains that. Oh, that explains that. That explains that. And so we had all these kind of layers of things that were happening. I mean, we had, you know, kind of me working through my breakup. And then as things were sort of looking up for me, you were starting to shift through your divorce and things were getting weird and sticky in that arena. And you were having, you know, relationships and I was trying to date. So we had this sort of here and now kind of relationship support. But then we also had this kind of adventure thing. We were hiking all over the place. We were training for the Grand Canyon. Our big plan was to go to Machu Picchu. So we had all these kind of outdoorsy adventure things. And then we had this third layer of the spirituality that was just forming alongside where we were both doing our spiritual development and kept wondering not only like of our own journeys, but like our journeys kept crossing over. And I mean, over the course of our friendship, we've come to learn that if one of us is going through some kind of massive like transformation or lesson, the other one is usually going through something similar. Maybe the circumstances are different, but the lesson is the same, whether it's creating boundaries or whether it's seeking peace, whatever it is, we seem to be going through these simultaneously. We've been doing this for 5 years where we've noticed.
Right.
And so I think we've kind of, we had all three of those layers of something that was unfolding, particularly in that first 6 to 8 months.
Yeah. And it led us to the culmination of finding our soulmates at the same, almost simultaneously in different ways, but almost simultaneously. And I think that like, you know, I wouldn't have jumped into all that stuff. I mean, all that stuff was crucial had we not met. I mean, maybe it would have happened some other way, but there was, who was it? So, okay, there's several things. One, the past life regressionist that came out that I was your, I'm on your spirit council and you are supposed to listen to me. So I am the lawyer you were supposed to listen to. And funny how I didn't like think, oh my God. I mean, because we didn't know each other that well when you told me that. And I'm like, of course I am. Like, it just felt right.
It didn't feel weird, like, right? Like, I was like, I'm calling this
creep.
Rando and telling her that, like, I got a tarot card of her in my spread.
Right.
Cool. And you want to go hiking Saturday?
See, that's the thing. Like, I had never been doing that spiritual stuff. I wasn't like hippie-ish. I wasn't any way, shape, or form. But when that came to us, it just felt as the most natural thing in the world. Mm-hmm. You know?
It explained a lot. It like filled in missing pieces that I didn't even know were missing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And it didn't, that's what I'm saying. Like, okay, when I have told my neighbors, friends, whatever stories about this, they're like laughing. They're like, think I'm a nut job. They think they're like in hysterics. But when this stuff has happened in real to you or to me or to this, like the other person who I said killed me, like we've had affirming feelings / sensations or whatever in our body and soul that this is the correct information. So other people have heard it and thought, oh my God, you're like off your rocker, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet when we've heard it and when the people we've shared with that we think were involved in another life, and I know I was right about this, they had a full body reaction to it. So it's like everything happened. And I always tell you, you say, oh, weird, isn't it? And I'm like, no, it's not weird. It was like, we have to have come up with another word, which we haven't, to say, yeah, this is how it's supposed to be. Right. And so like opening up that whole, so like our friendship has been so helpful in this lifetime, in this reality, IRL, in real life, like to help us to get through all the things that we've gotten through, both of us in the last 5 years, you, multiple breakups, me, multiple breakups, not being able to see my stepchildren from the previous relationship and deciding what I should do about that. And then your death of your mom and like, and the fact that I like took this random job at a personal injury law firm that, and I hated it. And I was there for like 2 months, not even a month, but that I was behind a bus that said 22 and it was the year 2022 and it had their name on the back of the bus. And I got the job like the next day and it happened to be the number one personal injury or medical malpractice attorney in the state or one of them. And I would have never known a medical malpractice person to refer you to, right? So for your mother's situation. So all these weird, I shouldn't even say weird things happened that were like so helpful in real life and in our understanding of all the lives that we've had.
Yeah. And it explains like, particularly one of the lives that I think is most interesting is the one where you referred to it as the World War II when I was supposedly your parent. And we've had dynamics between us where, you know, we have a parent-child dynamic sometimes where, but I, now knowing that, that's something that's embedded so deeply beneath this here and now, it's like, okay, I got to be careful. I got to not parent you. You're older than me. Why in the world am I parenting you? And I don't need to parent you. And we could see how these play out in our dynamics and it's super helpful.
Right. I mean, that's explained so much of my desire to push away and act like a teenager, right? But also, interestingly, I mean, I'm certain that we were Gertrude Stein and Alice B. Toklas of literary fame out of Paris, two Americans living in Paris in the turn of the century. And in that lifetime, I wrote the famous book. In this lifetime, you've written the book.
Yeah.
And I have this feeling like it's your turn. It's not my thing to get about. I'm in it. I'm like one of the main characters. And then in that lifetime, you were the subject. The famous book that she wrote was the autobiography of Alice B. Toklas. And if you look at photos of them, we're oddly like, we look like them. And you think that one's not attractive, but you think that one isn't, but you're like her in so many ways, right?
Yes. Okay. I mean, yeah, other than the horrid, like, you know, big practically bed sheets that they wrap around themselves as their
I know, but they were living dresses. In Paris in the, exactly. They had a dress like that, but they were avant-garde. They were really cutting edge, you know, for their time. And they were like doing all these things that like we're doing. And it's weird because like I do have all those kind of thoughts. And we can go back to the whole thing of like when we walked out of that tarot card reader's house who said that stuff to us, we had never discussed our connection to France or to Paris or to anything. Mm-hmm. And do you know, since that time, like, and since the me telling, so I used to be obsessed with like French stuff, right? So I have my bachelor's degree is in French language and literature, but living with French people, I found that we don't really get along culturally that well. And it's not really my thing, right? They're just a much more reserved kind of culture. And I would consider a little bit like standoffish, and I'm just not like that. I'm like the anathema to French people, right? So I understand their language. I read their literature. I spoke it fluently when I graduated from college. And the thing was, I did so well in it in high school that when I went to college, I tested into third year French day one, right? And so why I was a person, I was a, you know, grew up in the Midwest with no exposure to any other languages out in like cornfields. Like I'm pretty much the stereotypical, like rural upbringing, rural America, you know, eat your corn and your tomatoes and ride your bike on some backwoods road, you know, and hope a kidnapper doesn't come along. That's how I grew up. Right. And so why did I have a thing about France? I don't know. And I was obsessed with the Holocaust since I was 11 years old. Like every, like one track of my mind was Holocaust, Holocaust, Holocaust. And ever since, you know, I said something to that person, I believe was the person who killed me. Her life has gotten much better. Her guilt and the things that she felt and what she's done in this lifetime. And my like fixation on that dissipated. Not that I'm not interested in it, but my obsession of like everywhere I looked was, well, that's just like the Holocaust, or that's what's going to happen. And I know that we've been through this before, and that's like gone.
Well,
and you know, Bethany, our astrologer, had told me that a lot of people from the Holocaust were coming back now, and we're in a weird time of history. So when I actually explain it out, people get it. But what I'm saying is, when we left that day, we started talking about Paris, and turns out you had an equally like bizarre interest in knowing of Paris as a child in like what, Illinois or
Yeah, we were both in Illinois
Phoenix.
At the time.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah, we
at
were
the
both.
Same time. What years did you live there?
I lived there from, goodness, maybe 77 to 84.
Yeah, those are my golden years. I lived in Illinois from 1970 to 1991.
Okay, well, I was there during that time. I
Yeah.
was in elementary school, but I used to draw like almost look like architectural blueprint drawings of the Eiffel Tower. It was like from memory. I didn't even look at a picture.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
In
And they
elementary
lived
school.
in Paris. So there you go. I mean,
we have these connections. We've been told so many times we have all these lives in common, and that we have all these connections, and we learn these lessons simultaneously, and we've, you know, and it continues to happen, and we continue to know things, and we continue to see things. Because even as recent as last summer, when I said to you, we were hiking, and I said, what day is today? And you said, it's May 13th. And I said, okay, well, I want you to look at your calendar and put in your calendar right now, August 13th, and say, today, my life is incredibly different than it was on May 13th. You remember that day?
Yes, and then I was already married on August 13th.
You were married like 2 weeks. Well, you met somebody.
I met somebody that day, actually, that you said that online. And then we met 3 days later in person. And that was May 16th. And then we were married on July 20th.
Yeah, and when you say you met that day, it wasn't like you were already planning on meeting that day. You actually, you matched on the dating app that night.
Yeah.
And so, but I was like, I knew something. I knew something about May 13th. I said, by August 13th, your whole life is going to be incredibly different. And I had already known you for 4 years. And I mean, usually a 3 month period of time, your life isn't drastically different, right?
Right.
But I was like, nope, it's going to be absolutely different. And it was like, I knew. So, I mean, we've had these connections that have been, there's no way to really explain them in the kind of the earthbound ways. There just isn't, you know? And then during that, we've sort of smattered in like all the earthly things, right? The hiking and the adventures and the, you know, the heartbreak stuff and trying to work through that. And you've gone through, you know, some more heartache, and then I lost my mom, and, you know, we'd had all those things happen. So we had also the kind of like the here and now stuff, but deep down below it, there was also this kind of shifting of whatever the spiritual connection was that would just, we pull each other along somehow. And you know, I haven't had that happen so overtly with anyone before.
Yeah. And it was so helpful, because I do think a lot of it helped you deal with your mom's death in a really good way. Not that it was a good experience, but that you didn't let it destroy you. Right. And me losing access to my stepchildren, extremely painful, a lot of therapy, a lot of whatever, but an understanding of, you know, things happen in this lifetime, right? Where like maybe there won't be resolution in this lifetime, or maybe it has to happen that way. And I think having that greater understanding has helped me to deal with these painful things, you know?
Yeah, we both went through it, and then it's kind of nice to not be alone too. Like when I would go to these things and get, you know, readings, or I did my past life regression, you're like, you were on speed dial, right? And,
right.
Because you believed me, you believed my experience. Whereas some people are like, oh, that's cute story.
Right.
Like, no, literally I went by past lives, and I like pet a horse and rushed a horse, and you're like, oh my gosh, you did. And other people are like, you don't like horses. That's a weird story. And so, you know,
well, yes, it's very helpful to have people validate and actually care, and also like understand it. You know?
Well, I'm going to ask you a few questions. These are sort of off the cuff right now, and I want to just hear what your thoughts are. What is one of your favorite memories in our friendship?
What is one of my favorite memories? Oh, one of my favorite is the snake that scared the crap out of you on
Wasson
Peak.
You were spitting water at it and it was like coiled up ready to attack us.
Actually, that was so funny because like we hiked a lot and you live in Arizona, Tucson, Arizona. So you should be used to snakes. They're everywhere. They're like every 2 feet. I just assume there's a snake everywhere. And that snake would not let us pass. It was hilarious.
No, it
and
would
you
not.
Were freaking out and you didn't even want me to use your pole because you thought snake juice would get on it or whatever.
I thought you were going to get your hand bit off because my pole's only 2.5 feet long or 3 feet long.
I thought you were worried that like snake.
No,
juice would get
I didn't
off.
Want
like
you to,
I'm like, well, I if I want... touch its belly, it's not going to get on there.
Oh my gosh. I didn't want you to lose your hand. And you were too busy sucking out of your camelback, filling your mouth with water, and then spitting it as far as you could at the head of the snake. And I remember the snake was getting pretty pissed off. And I'm like, oh yeah, now it's really going to let us pass by. It's now pissed.
Like we were like, we're getting to the top of that mountain. It was only like another 10-minute hike, but it was like, you're not going to stop a snake. And then. And then not only did that thing go up into the bush and like threatened to strike at us from the bush. Do you remember that? It was like, it was then instead of being at our feet, it was at shoulder height. So I had to stand between you and the snake and then you could run by. And I'm like, we're going. And then we get to the top and then we're watching and somebody else has the same experience.
I know we hear screaming from below and they're like, and we heard it. We're like, okay, I guess it's still there when we go down.
It was so funny. I think that was hilarious. That was fun.
Gosh.
I know. That was fun. And I'm trying to think of what else, but that was fun. That was a fun day. And, you know, I'm like on this hiking hiatus, actually. But I'm going to start again tomorrow with you, which I regretted saying. I opened my mouth and said I would come down and do it.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be
fine. No, I'm so chubby right now. It's not.
We're going to have
so
much fun.
And I have to get weighed next Friday. It's very distressing.
I don't even let them tell me what my weight is when I go. And I turn it down every time I go. But, I mean, I know
you're... This
I know
is for the life insurance thing, but
you just tell them they put a post-it note over it. I had them do that at one thing for my biometric screening for work. I'm like, I know you have to weigh me, but I'm going to put the post-it note over it and you just can write
that's
it.
That's a good idea. I should tell them.
I'm like, I don't think it's healthy, but
well, right. And I mean, that's the thing is like, I look around and I'm like one of the healthiest people. I'm like, you're going to judge me. You know, I feel so judged, but it's for life insurance. But
I know they have to do that, but
I know they do, but, yeah, I'll get back into hiking. But, you know, I like to go really early and then be done.
I know, we're compromising. But, okay, well, I have my one of my favorite memories, and it is a hiking memory.
Okay.
So it was Grand Canyon rim to rim, and then we stayed the night and then at the north side, and we did rim to rim back the next day. So you had gone ahead. You had gotten the cabin for us, and then you No, I'm going to tell a different part of the story because the part of the story that you're expecting is the part where you claim the queen bed. And, you know, anyways, I feel like all my ligaments in my knee were completely torn and I'm dragging it behind me to get across the canyon. And I knew I had to go back the next day. And you're like, there's no shame in the shuttle. I'm like, that's the shame shuttle. Yes, there is. There is. I'm not taking the shuttle. So you went and got me ice while I was in the shower. And as soon as you came back with your ice, you said, the lady at the check-in desk thinks that, and then it was your ex, was totally stupid for breaking up with me. And I was like, what? I was like, you just went to get ice. Like, what happened? And you're like, she thinks she was totally stupid and she's going to regret it. And I was like, did you literally tell your whole story to the reception lady? Like, what just happened? You were gone for 10 minutes. How? And you're like, oh yeah. And then I think she was hitting on me. I was in so much pain and I was like trying not to laugh because I hurt my knee. It reverberated all the way down, but I was like, what is she talking about? Oh, it was so matter of factly. Oh yeah. She's just an idiot for dumping me. I was like, oh my God.
That's right. If you're going to get ice, you might as well tell your story.
You might as well. And she was a listener who seemed to be trapped behind a desk and couldn't get away. So perfect person to share that with.
Oh my God. She was not trapped. But that was an interesting, we've talked about this at that lodge burned down, which is so unfortunate.
I know.
You know, I got there way early And then, so I was ahead of you guys. And then I went to the general store before I got to the cabin, and I had a Mountain Dew and a potato chips. And then I thought I was done, but I was by myself. And so I had no idea. And it was like another 2 miles to the stupid lodge. And at that point I was just mad. And I did get her to give me the keys, and I got in the room and I got the shower fixed before I got there. So that should be that your favorite story. I got the shower repaired. Can you imagine if you got there and you couldn't take a shower?
No, I do appreciate that. But I also appreciate your humor as a welcome break from my suffering and pain of my knee. So,
and you should have just taken the shuttle, but you didn't.
And I know that this is not, if you're listening to this podcast because you want to find funny dynamics between friends, perfect. If you're listening to it for Grand Canyon advice, turn this off now, because I should have taken the shame shuttle back, but I did not. And I would highly recommend that people do that for their own safety. It wasn't a smart idea, but by the next day I was feeling a little better. So I
were you, well, you took your, you did. I mean, you did, I think you ended up, what do you call it? You put your knee in the water. You like soaked your knee in the water and stuff. And that day I went ahead of you guys again. And then I was so, there's a part that's like, so it's just sand and you feel like you're being burned to death. That's why I went ahead. Cause I was like, I have to get through this, but there's parts where you can just lay in the water, you know? Mm-hmm. And I had thought of going to the river, and then I was like, no, I shouldn't. It was a beach. And anyway, someone drowned the next week, and I'm so glad I didn't go by myself. But I got to the top, and I was sick, like from the altitude, mm-hmm. like that. It's the altitude gain that you do in the hike. And I was like, so distressed that I was have to pay $2.50 for a can of Sprite. But I was so nauseous that if I didn't have it, I was going to be like, I was so depleted of, you know, like electrolytes. And even there's signs all over the Grand Canyon that have people puking on them. And it's like, you can take your electrolytes, but we've experimented with different kinds of food, electrolytes, and all that. So yes, if you want some Grand Canyon advice, we can give it. Cause I used to use those salt tabs, remember? And they just, they become so ugh in your mouth. And I just threw away a whole a bottle of salt capsules. Cause I'm like, there is no way if I'm hiking, I could choke that down.
I agree. But if you're looking for Grand Canyon advice, it is not this episode. But
we do have really good advice.
We do have good Grand Canyon advice, and I've done the Grand Canyon several times in various fashions.
Yes.
So, okay, I'm going to switch to another question. I want to ask you, and then you can ask it of me. Okay. So, what do you offer me as a friend?
Now, currently, or historically?
Both.
I mean, I think I'm a pretty good friend. I'm not the kind that goes just going to go to dinner with you. And I'm not the kind that's going to like make plans. You have to drag. You've had to force me to do almost every social thing that we've done. So,
what do you offer me? This is what you don't offer me.
I offer a lot of talking, a lot of processing. And I always enjoyed processing while hiking. I enjoy a lot. I'm able to talk and process and talk and process and talk and process and talk and process.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, that's what you offer me. Okay, yeah. So then you can ask me.
What do you feel like you offer
episode.
Me?
I think consistency, and guidance, and I just sort of show up. I'm just continue to be like a continued presence, no matter what you're going through.
When you were talking, the word I was thinking was guidance, and then you said it.
And then I said guidance.
Yeah.
So I think that, and without being forceful,
you talk and process.
And I talk and process with you. And I think I also encourage you to do the things that you want to do.
Yes, you're very encouraging. And you would have helped me a lot more if I would listen to you about the business stuff. And I am finding my way. It's true. But, you know, when I was in Burma in the year 2000, I was approached by a man at a temple. Or had I gone to the temple with him? I don't know. But he was a palm reader. He could read palms. He wasn't necessarily a palm reader. But there were shamans at this temple in Burma. And they got very agitated that anyone else would do what they were doing, right? I think I'd spend the whole day with him. He was a Buddhist teacher. But he was our like, they basically ride you around on bicycles there. So my friend and I were riding around with him. And she had gone off to like hang out with school children or something like that. And I was with him and he read my palm and he said, everything is always harder for you at the beginning, but then you do really well at it. And that's kind of been my entire life's experience, is that it just takes me forever to like, everything is harder. Cause I don't know if it's cause I don't go for the help or I have to like figure it out on my own or something like that. So that's something that like you would offer me a lot more assistance, but I'm not willing to take it. Not because I don't think that your assistance would probably get me where I need to go much sooner and faster, but it's like, I just have to figure it out for myself. And it's awful to watch, I'm sure, bumbling and waste, you know, not making money. And then like I just left an investing thing and I was like, oh my God, okay, I've got 56 more years to go. So I'm going to just pretend like I'm 20 and I'm doing all this from the get go, you know, and I'm not going to let it bother me the time that I've wasted. And it's the same with everything, the business, all that, like, it's like, I have to figure that out. So I think that you offer also an ability to see that, and as painful as it may be for you, back off. Right. And just watch me bumble. Like a fool.
I do watch you bumble and it is painful. But I also know you're not going to, I mean, you've listened to me. One thing you listened to me, and I think you were very grateful for it, is when you were talking, I mean, you've brought it up every other month for a long time, of you were going to sell your townhouse and then you were going to you know, every iteration.
I was going to blow it up at one point. I was going to burn it. I was going to sell it.
You were going to live in a van. You were going to live in Thailand. You were going to live in Seattle. You were going to live in San Diego. You were going to live in LA. There are all sorts of iterations of whatever was going to happen. But the bottom line was you were going to sell your townhouse. And I finally just said, okay, well, if you sell it, will you sell it to me? Because it's such a great investment. And I remember how irritated you got by that. And I mean, it's true. It is a good investment. A townhouse in Oro Valley. Are you kidding me? And so,
but also you said it, you didn't say it as a reverse psychology. You were serious.
And I was like, serious. Well, I would have bought it from
you. I know. And I'm like, if she thinks this is valuable, then she would make money off it. And then I would her in 10 years when she's making money off of my townhouse. So it's you're smart. See, yes. And I have thanked you. I now love this townhouse. My wife thanks you. My wife thanks you for keeping me here. And, you know,
like, 'cause you two would never have met.
I know. And we have the best life ever in this townhouse. And it's so weird. Like, this is a tiny townhouse of 1,200 square feet. And there's five of us here. Not five of us all the time, but three of us all the time. And then two more, like, on the weekends. And honestly, even with the dogs now that we've made their own apartment, everyone can have their own space. It's wild. It's wild. Mm-hmm. And it's like with the Swedish do, they like maximize space. Like, this really, well, we don't have a lot of natural disasters here. I mean, when I drive in certain parts of Tucson, I'm like, why in the gods, why do I live here? And I miss the water. I guess you lived in Illinois, Chicago for a long time, so you're by Lake Michigan. But like living in Seattle, you see the water everywhere. Like,
yeah, I mean,
water,
I lived in Sarasota,
water,
Florida.
Water.
I saw water all the time. I lived in the Bay Area. I was right near the water. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, that's
I get
only
it.
Thing I miss. I wish we could like get some rivers going here.
Yeah.
If there were rivers here, if like that CDO washed by me, if that was a river, oh my God. If I could just walk by the river, you know what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't have to be like an ocean or a lake, but like just a little bit of water. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I do every morning. I wake up very happy, grateful, appreciative, you know.
Yeah, because you remember what I said too? I said, you don't have to live here, but it's not a good idea to sell your place.
Yeah, and you said have a home base and travel and do whatever. And what do I say to my wife when she's like, ugh, here, you know, because we're both from elsewhere. And I'm like, this can be our home base. Do you want to be house poor? Do you want to sell this place and
exactly.
be house
poor? That's the thing.
Now I have to, yes. Okay, master, I have turned into you.
See, but you see that
your words come out of my mouth now to my wife.
Oh, and,
do you want to be house poor somewhere else?
Right.
Do you want to travel ever again? Do you want to, you know, Yes, yeah. I repeat all those things.
Good. My work here is done. Mic drop. Yes. Mm-hmm. I know. That's the only thing I think you've ever listened to me about. And finally, there was a couple of years ago, I was just like listening to you, your sob story about something. And I was like, I'm not going to give you my opinion. And you were like, why aren't you going to give me your opinion? And I was like, because you don't listen to it. You don't take it. It makes no impact on you whatsoever. So I'm just not. I'm just going to listen and go, uh-huh, uh-huh. And then you're like, I want your opinion. I want it. I want it. I'm like, no, not going to. No, I want it. I want it. I want it. And it was like, I don't know if you want to hear what I'm going to say. Oh, I do. I do. I do. You know, but I'm pretty reluctant to tell you what I really think about some of the things.
Well, you have to. Okay. Well, that's the thing. People need to hear it, whether they follow what people's advice is, you know, but that's the thing. Having honest people in your life, not abusive people who shove their opinion down your throat and in a mean way, which is not even a right what they're saying, but like, yeah, I want to know. I mean, yes, I'm going to say it here on the podcast. You have saved me in so many ways because I would not have met my wife if I had taken off, and I wouldn't have this lovely home for us all to live in,
mm-hmm,
which is perfect. And you know, it's so interesting. It's just like little things that, you know, adding on a little bit of a room so that, you know, three kids can be in one room, but it's two rooms, putting, you know, this, I have skylights, and in Tucson, you know, it's brutal in the summer. And so I never even thought of this. Like, what do you call that? Shades for a skylight. They sell shades for a skylight. Like, mm-hmm, my mind couldn't visualize it. So like, we've put so many plants in our front yard. And so like, we can sleep with the window open, and like, people can't see because of the way that we've put the plants up. And so just like a few alterations or modifications has made all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. And you'll have the house paid off before you know it, because it's
right.
Your mortgage is so reasonable. There's right. No way you could even get that kind of a mortgage now.
I know.
Or buy something else. And it's like, we shouldn't be trapped by those things, but some people are. And you know, you said to me the other day, you're like, God, I don't know how you have so much like opportunity to do so much traveling and all that. And I'm like, cause I'm not house poor.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not. I fixed up my house. It's like the way that I want it. And I'm not house poor. I can go where I want to go. And I know right. I can come back to my home, and I don't want to be house poor.
Right.
And that's the thing. And so it's like, but then I also get to travel all over the place. So if I really didn't want to be in Tucson very often, I wouldn't have to be.
Right.
Cause I'm not house poor.
Right. Well, and the thought, like when I see people who are moving or even just trying to rearrange stuff in here or make things so everyone can have it, you know, work for them. Like, I don't want to move. I do not want to move.
No.
I do not want to drag this stuff out of here. And like, I can't handle it. And then the thought of these people who have multiple homes or two homes, it's like, no, thank you. I mm-hmm. can barely manage to keep this one up.
Oh my gosh, I co-lived for so long. Oh my gosh, it's such a pain. I would forget my slippers at one place and my phone charger at another. And then somebody's birthday was in one community I was in, but I was always in the other at the time. Anyways, neither here nor there. It looks like you do listen to me every once in a while. I listen to you all the time. You always peek questions. I don't typically take advice from people like, you should do X, Y, Z, and then I do exactly X, Y, Z. I like people's opinions because then I can form my own from them. And sometimes I take more of somebody's than not, but sometimes I take a mix of people's, or sometimes someone gives me their opinion and I'm like, I have a visceral reaction. I'm like, absolutely not. But that also helps clarify, right? Like, so the advice is not necessarily bad. It just because you don't take it verbatim doesn't mean that it's bad to get, you know? And so.
Exactly. I have taken your advice verbatim, and now I spew it out of my own mouth. So
yay!
You won.
I have a lot more too. So you can feel free to tap in and ask me. I've got a lot of opinions on things. So after this, after we get off, I'm happy to go through each of them with you if you'd like some.
Okay. I'll see if I have time for that. Okay. I have a big to-do list next to me. Okay, go on. What else? Do we have other questions?
Well, you asked me some questions. Do you have any questions off the top of your head?
Well, no, I mean, I feel like we talk enough. Like, we're talking all the time that, like, I mean, what do you, like, think of this friendship? Are you glad that we met? And do you want to continue this friendship?
Well, I'm not going to break up our friendship on a podcast right now. So that...
Because it would be gauche. It would be so rude.
So rude. No, I think that this friendship has changed and evolved over time, serving whatever need we feel it needs to serve at the time, whether we consciously make that happen or not. So it's morphed, right? Like it's points in which we were all about trying to find love and relationships and going through a lot of that. It was a lot of processing and tumult and tears and all that and support, right? But then there were times in which it shifted into like my grieving of my mom, and it shifted into your changing of your professions, your jobs, all those things.
Right.
And we've sort of morphed and changed like what we need over time. And so, but we continue to show up and continue to offer support to each other based on where we are. So I see that continuing to be a trajectory in my mind, is that even though this morphs and changes, that that's what the friendship is. So while I say like, I'm consistent for you, I'm consistently there, but what role we play and what we're doing to show that support and guidance might change based on our circumstances, but I don't necessarily see it going away. I just see it as continuing to evolve. And I still see us, every time we turn around, we're still finding ways that we're spiritually connected on some kind of a larger journey. It's not like something we just went to the psychic like years ago and that was it. It's like we're continuing to unpack things that are happening that are in alignment. And so, yeah, that's my thought.
Yeah, we're not needing like sounding boards now because we're both in such a good place. I mean, that's the thing. So then it seems like, I mean, I know I've talked to you and I'm like, well, I have really nothing to say because my life is so perfect. I mean, here's the thing. This is the thing about me. Like, okay, so the personal life got perfect. I'm in the perfect relationship. I'm so happy. And then I just forget that I have to have a career and I need to make money and do all that. And I just, it's like, I forget that. So now I'm focusing on that. Right. So, and that also has a spiritual component to it, right? Or, you know, the psychic thing, or how am I going to make that happen? And how can I do that in alignment with my values and all that? And so I think that like, there are ways, like, cause we have talked and I'm like, I just don't have anything to say. It's that, and we did get to a point with the politics where I thought I was going to just like, and the current events where it just, we couldn't even talk about it, I think, or wasn't healthy to talk. So I stopped talking about it because I was so freaked out and negative about what's happening. So
not because, just for listeners, not because we disagreed at all.
No.
We're on the same political side.
Right,
it just,
right.
It was overtaking you there for a few months. And it was a lot.
Yeah. I was super like down about it and like, oh my God, what can I do? I can't do anything to stop this. And I was getting very upset about it. And so then I had to go insular. I had to go look inside myself and find that spirituality again in order to actually be able to move through that. And I told my wife that too. I said that I'm depressed. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with our relationship. Mm-hmm. It's what is going on in the world. And I have to find a way to reconcile that and still find ways to be helpful and do things that I know matter. So then if you're not talking about current events, if you're not talking about your relationship, and then I really just did not, I was so busy with kids stuff that there's no way I could focus on the career. So now I'm back to focusing on career. We're at summer break. So I freed up hours of my day from driving, you know, and actually being able to focus on the work stuff and all that. And so, and I'm actually really excited. So like, cause I've told you now I'm becoming a certified financial planner and then I guess life insurance salesperson or something. I don't even really fully understand it yet. I'm just starting down this journey, but I just went to a luncheon and I was like, you don't know what this person's talking about. And it was all about funds by, you know, this, you have to have like 50,000 or 100,000 to even get into them. And I was like, so I like downloaded Economics for Dummies on my phone on, you know, the library app. Yeah. And I was like, and I wasn't going to buy it either. I was like, oh my God, I'm now setting my goals. I never was a person who set goals before. I didn't really care. I just kind of aimlessly drifted along, but I have a family. I want to be here for 56 more years. I want us to have, you know, my wife to be able to retire and that we can enjoy our life before I'm 75 or 80, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm seeing that stuff, enjoying it, and not seeing it as I can't think about it or talk about it, or, you know, I'm like looking at the world in a different way. Why are there the haves and the have-nots? Why are there these people with this money? So it's giving me a new excitement for life, I guess, in the career zone. I have my legal advising business, but, you know, starting a business and all that. And so it may be that I do come to you for help with that or assistance or advice. But I also, you know, I'm not one of those people. I don't want to lean heavily on friends, you know. I mean, I have a friend coming over today to work on our cars, but like I went to his farm yard or whatever. He's got his 40 acres and helped him do some stuff there the other day. So I like a reciprocal. And it's hard with you because there's really no reciprocity in those realms because you're so far advanced, you know. You're so much more advanced than I am.
Well, I might not come to you for career advice, but certainly like life.
But I mean
advice
the other stuff. Yeah. But you know, your relationship's good and you're not needing that. So we'll have to like, oh, you know what we could do is we could write topics on a piece of paper and then pick them out of a hat. Cause I never want a relationship to be one-sided where I'm like, oh, what should I do about this? And I also hate to talk about the details. Like my website, I did fix my website. I changed it.
Yay.
I just let the AI do it.
Okay. Well, good.
It like knew I needed an update.
Okay. Well, there you go.
I don't know how it changed the whole thing. So I was like, sure. Great. You know, and now I have two clients and, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I want to talk about, I don't want to be the bummer. I don't want to be the ball and chain, the dragging, you're dragging up the, you know, hill talking about, I don't want to talk about the details of some website crap. That makes me want to like hurl myself off the mountain. So I see us going forward in a really fun way.
Yeah.
Talking about fun things. And we talk.
I don't think we ever run out of things to talk about. We do end up talking about current events, but it's not basically like we're all going to die tomorrow. It's now more like, you know, this happened, and then we talk about what our thoughts are, and you know, in a much more analytical kind of rather than we're going to die kind of way. And you know, and I do ask you for advice on things. We had a really good conversation the other day about the future of the podcast. And I was, you know, things I was questioning and wondering, and, you know, so I lean on you too. It's never really been one-sided. And if anything, it was one-sided when I was going through my breakup years ago and you were there.
Okay. You owe me then. You can help me with my,
I've been helping you with your website and your mission statement for 5 years now, my point is that it is reciprocal. It's just that, you know, and we don't run out of things to talk about. It's just that when we came together during a time in which both of us were really going through some massive transformations in our lives. Mm-hmm. Things were upended. We were both in the business of making new friends, reestablishing a new life. You had moved into your townhouse. I was solo in my house. It was just like lots of changes were afoot and we were emotionally going through things. And so we leaned on each other to get through those hard times. And then times would get a little bit better for certain periods and then they would get bad for something. And, you know, there's just different times in which we, you know, we've leaned on each other. And it doesn't mean like from this point on, neither of us are ever going to have a hard time again. It's just right now we're going through like a stasis, which is good because we both needed a little reprieve from the emotional heaviness of what we both had to go through individually over the last few years. But it's a time of, think of it as a time of invention and innovation where our conversations aren't necessarily focused on like how to survive this horrible feeling that I have and more like how am I going to thrive with my career, my family, my friends, my partner, my travels, whatever it is, and really think of it more like shifting it to that, right?
Yes. Okay. Say that again.
So we're moving from survive to thrive in terms of the types of support we do. We're like, instead of like pulling me out of the depths of heartbreak, instead you're cheering me on with my relationship. Right.
Right.
And so, and
your new special edition podcast series for lesbian love advice.
Exactly. Which is super excited about because, you know, one of the conversations we had that was super helpful was what is the future of this podcast? What are we both getting out of it? What do we both want out of it? And, so for next season in a few months, I'll be launching a special edition series of Rock That Relationship called Lesbian Love Lessons. And it's real specific, on purpose because it's a special topics. And, I'll be doing that with 10 individual guest co-host. So Tracy's going to take a season off, and she's got a bunch of things in her wheelhouse right now that she's trying to deal with and do. And I want to do something kind of innovative and unique. So I'm going to pilot this little thing here, and we're going to do some really fun conversations with lots of people. But this was a great conversation. We came to this point where we agreed it was kind of a win-win all the way around.
Right. 100%. And that's the thing. What did I say? Fly, little birdie. Do your thing. Like, I'm never going to get in your way, right? And I think you were a little bit nervous about broaching that subject with me because, you know, it's our podcast, Rock That Relationship. And I love the podcast, and I love that I think we can do it in the future. But you're doing some solo projects, which is really important because over the years that we've been friends, you have talked about it's been difficult with other people when you are like light years ahead of people. And you need to just that saying that we're going to move from surviving to thriving is so perfect because that's where we're both in a position to be able to thrive now. So we should help each other thrive. Mm-hmm. I think that's great. Like, I hadn't even thought of it that way, but yeah, because a lot of our relationship has been like, oh my God, can we survive this? You know, survival, like literally right. Survival of like, am I going to, you know, lose my mind or how am I going to get through this? And why am I being tortured like this? And so yeah. Now we're not in there. So then I'm like, oh, done. We're done. Everything's done. Everything's easy. But you're right. And I've wondered that before, like with people who are like so spiritually already aware and they already have so much going on, they're already making money, like why do they need to do anything else? But those are the people. Okay, this is the stage I need to get to, is like, you're set. I said that to you the other day. You're set for life. You don't have to do anything else if you don't want to. You've already traveled everywhere. You've been to Kangaroo Island off of Australia, you know, like you've made it, in my opinion. I've seen the elephants, you've seen the kangaroos, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we could say that's it, but done. We're great. Life is great. I mean, I'm so blessed and I feel so fortunate. But then it's like, I have to overcome that, like, I'm so selfish to want more. But I want more because I want to help more elephants. I want to do more of that. I want to raise more awareness. And so how can we, yes, thrive? So we're both in with our soulmates. We're both in this really happy place. We're both financially set enough, you know? Mm-hmm. And we're not needing for stuff. I mean, I'm broke. She's not, but I'm in an okay position. Right. And I have a home. I have a home, and that I'm so grateful for because many, many people do not have a home. And so I want to thrive now. And so when I'm thriving, the way that I have to look at it is I can help more, even more people. Right. Mm-hmm. But I have to get to that. And you said to me the other day, and this would probably be your second big advice that I take, like the first is, you know, keep this townhouse. Don't be an idiot. Don't sell. You have a home. Many people don't have a home. My God. And you know what it was? You told me that, what was it? So many people over 50 or 60 are going to become homeless because of what's happening. And because, I mean, I can't even get into that because now when I'm taking this financial class, I'm learning about how much credit card debt's out there, how people are really strapped, right? So for me, then I say, okay, I need less. I need less. Well, I can do that in my personal life as far as like, I don't need to have any other clothes. I don't need to have any other of this. But how can I actually thrive? How can I go out there and thrive so I can create more of that? And that always seems selfish to me. And you said, you're the one getting in your own way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it is. It's that shadow work that I have to do about that. Abundance isn't for me, or wealth isn't for me, or health. I mean, I've always, the health, I take that back, but like the wealth and the like means to do other things to help other people. And so that you saying you are the one in your way, you're the only one in your way. Like you're the one who keeps throwing up roadblocks and it's you. So I have thought I am taking that seriously and it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I have to talk to myself and figure that out.
Right.
And I'm getting there, you know?
Well, part of it is that you exist in a state of survival because that's what's comfortable for you. So you put up all these roadblocks. So you feel like you have to like go over them. And, you know, it's like the ground is treacherous and everything, you have to survive because that's comfortable. But the reality is if you got out of your own way, all you would be doing is needing to thrive. And again, mm-hmm. thriving doesn't have to be selfish, as you said. Like, right. like I'm advertising my book, The Soulmate Strategy, which I'm doing right now, advertising it everywhere. I'm advertising right. it everywhere. Do you know that writers don't really make a lot of money unless you're like Stephen King? You're not going to live off of your writing proceeds. The amount of money I spend in writing this book, I will never get back. And I get that. And I'm okay with that. I'm not trying to sell books to, you know, fill my coffers. I'm selling my book right. because it is my way of helping to change the world. And I can't get in my way and be like, oh, it's so selfish and sleazy to like try to push my book on people. No, I'm going to sell my book to anyone and everyone because I get little messages from people that say your book made a difference. Your book got me through that. And that's why I'm doing this. So
what is that book called?
It's called The Soulmate Strategy, My Imperfect Plan to Conquer Heartbreak and Find True Love. You can find it online, and you can find my audiobook that I recorded too. But yeah. I mean, like, if you don't even want to buy it, don't buy it. Get it from your library. Get it on Spotify Premium. It's free. I don't care. Read the book is what I'm saying. And so if I looked at that as like me trying to be like sleazy and sell myself, that's not what this is. This is me changing right. the world. And yours is the same as like your legal advising and some of the stuff you want to do with like coaching, mentoring, mediation, all this other stuff. You know, you're like, well, I don't want to advertise. Like, well, yeah, because someone needs your help.
Right. I know, but so, it's like, so hard. Like, yeah, it feels so sleazy to me. So
yeah.
Surviving, not thriving. No.
Thriving, not surviving. Not
surviving.
Exactly. And that's
don't put surviving, not thriving. Thriving, not surviving.
Surviving to thriving. Whatever it is that we're doing. But the point is right. this idea is that we're in a state right now where we both have the potential to and are thriving in many aspects of it. Right. There will be other points during our friendship when one of us is just simply trying to survive. A horrible setback happens. Something health related happens. Something with a job happens. Who knows what it is? And you're trying to come up for air and the other one will be there, right? So we can slip into these survival modes, but we can't live in the state of survival all the time because it isn't good for us individually and it isn't good for our friendship to make it based only on when we're in tragedy. I mean, I don't want a friendship based on the fact that one of us has to be in tragic circumstances for us to have something to talk about.
I know, but it's interesting, right? Because that's where I think, like, it just seems so obnoxious to say, oh, I'm so happy. Like, that's why I don't talk about my good fortune either, because I feel like it's a pox on me. I'll get a hex. Someone will put a hex on me or something. Like, I'm scared to talk about the good things because I am really afraid they'll be taken away.
Okay. That's superstitious. Talk about the good things and it'll bring more good things.
I know that's what manifesting people do.
That's a lot of attraction, yeah.
I still like have that. Like I'm having a physical reaction right now to that. That if you talk about the good things, knock on wood, they will be taken away. If you revel in the good things, if you're so happy. Like I told you, I always see these people, the good die young, you know, these people like they're perfect and then they die. So I try to keep a little bit of nastiness in me so I can like, so I'm not taken. And so when people don't go to my funeral and say, she was such a good person, I'll be like 98, no, 106. I'll be 106 and I'll be like, she had a little vinegar in her. But like, that's the thing is like, yes, I do live with those superstitions. I was raised in that kind of way. It's like, you know, I was raised where there was no good fortune. And then it's like, if you see other people's good fortune, it must be because they're arrogant and conceited and all that. So I have a lot of shadow work to do.
I have a lot of shadow work. As long as you're not bragging about it or like making fun of someone else because they don't have what you have. But if you're like, yeah, I'm happy. I mean, I'm really excited. Like, I've been told by so many people that this is really cool that they want to find the kind of love that my partner and I have. They're like, it's just, you glow, you light up a room. Everything is just on fire when you two are together. And I watch that. And all I want to do is have that. I had actually a friend who went out and got ordained to do weddings because she was so motivated to help bring people together for love, not for us to get married, but just in general. Mm-hmm. And I've had people text me even just yesterday saying, I want what you have. And I'm like, I'm not throwing it in your face to make you jealous. I want to inspire you so you know you can have that and that you should have that and you shouldn't settle for anything less than that. And so if I have to keep showing up and sharing my love with people so they get inspired, fantastic. If I went around and was like, oh my gosh, your relationship sucks, you don't have what we have, that's not cool, right? So that's like not what you want to do. But living your life authentically and just simply enjoying the things that you have and the things that you do, live it. It's contagious. It's inspiring to people.
Okay, well, that's an interesting take on it.
Yeah.
I always just feel like, oh, no. If you say that stuff, you're going to get it. Pie in the face.
I mean, there's no more likelihood that you're going to get pie in the face than if you don't say it. It's going to happen regardless. So, you know, just live it. Feel it. Don't hide it.
Right.
Don't mute it.
Well,
you know?
I mean, I try not to, but I really am like more scared than it gives me like fear that I better protect this. But that's going to be our new era. So this is the end of an era.
Yes, it is. I want to say something to that last point that you said, and I know we need to wrap up here soon. There's a thing called the Wallenda effect. Have you ever heard of the Wallenda effect?
No.
Okay, so you know who Carl Wallenda is? He's like the the tightrope walker from like, I don't know, four generations
ago. Oh, the 1800s.
Ago. Yeah. And every single son that he has had after that, maybe even daughters, I don't know, have been tightrope walkers. Even there's even the latest Wallenda who like walked across the strip in New York just a couple of years ago and did Niagara Falls like last year. Anyways, so the Wallendas, the flying Wallendas, his family has been doing this for a long time. Well, Carl Wallenda was so famous for doing this and people would come from all over and watch him. And every day he'd get up in the morning and be like, I'm a great tightrope walker. I'm so excited today. I'm going to get to do this tightrope walk. And he'd walk across and then he'd come home for dinner that night. And one morning he woke up and he's like, I'm really nervous that like, maybe I'll fall today. And his wife's like, don't say stuff like that. And she's like, come on, you always walk across. He's like, I don't know. What if I fell? And then that day he fell and died. And so,
okay, so what?
So that
story
has,
didn't help.
Yes, it does. Because the idea is that if you are kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop and you're scared to say like how great things are because you're afraid that something bad is going to happen, then all you're doing is living in a state of fear like Carl Wallenda did. And you bring fear on.
But he died.
Yeah, because he was so focused on what the bad could happen from something. He didn't want to jinx it. And then something bad happened. But every day that he went out and was like, I'm walking across this tightrope. It's great. I'm a great tightrope walker. Things are great. He ended up making it across the tightrope. And it's the same thing. If you worry that the other shoe is going to drop, or you worry that if you say how great things are, that bad things are going to happen, that you're just manifesting that. Like, why? Don't be Carl Wallenda. Like,
okay, this here, the Wallenda effect is a psychological phenomenon where intense fear of failure increases the likelihood of making the exact mistake you're trying to avoid.
Exactly.
He fell to his death in 1978. Before this fateful walk, he spent months obsessing over the fear of falling rather than focusing on the act of walking the wire. But maybe he should just stop and gone down to do something else.
Well, it could be intuition and he could have like been like kind of envisioning his own death. But the point is that it is that we are worried that something, if we relish in something too much, that's going to fail. And then does increase the likelihood that we will fail. So don't manifest that stuff. Enjoy the feelings you're having right now. Enjoy the successes that you're having. You're not rubbing it in anyone's face. You are thriving. Enjoy it. Because the more you enjoy it and the more you know, then the more you thrive. And it's like a cycle. Do you ever try to wonder why, other than like those setbacks I've had in some of my personal relationships, that most of the time I'm thriving?
Yeah.
Because I live in
Do
a
I
thrive
wonder why?
State. It's a
well,
thriving
you always
state.
Say, nobody sees my failures. People only sees my success.
No, I see failures. I do failures, but it doesn't mean I'm not thriving. I get right back up and I thrive. Like I don't.
No, I'm saying you say other people don't see your failures, right?
Well,
because.
Yeah.
They see the end result of all of your working on stuff.
Well,
but
that,
I'm
yes.
gonna change my mindset now to thriving, not surviving.
Yes, and I think that will be a good theme for our friendship too, as we base our connection on not trying to help each other survive horrible things that keep happening to us, but helping each other thrive on the things that are good. And then if we go have setbacks, we're there for each other for those. But that we don't have to have a mindset of that our friendship is based on survival.
True. Smart. There you go. That is that's good. That's smart.
Yes. All right. Well, with that said, we have covered a lot of ground. So if I were to sum this up, is we met at a party. It wasn't for either of us. We didn't want a date. And you thought I was kind of stuck up. And then we ended up meeting later on at a walk. And then you were my lawyer card in my spread. And then all of a sudden we had all these hiking adventures, spiritual journeys. We helped each other through tons of really, really difficult things. And here we are today, and we want to survive, or we want to put away survival and focus on thriving as a way of shifting the mindset of the friendship.
We want to thrive, not just survive. That
right.
pretty much sums it up, right? Now we're going to move to the thriving phase of the relationship, not the surviving phase.
Exactly.
Thriving, not surviving. Okay, there we have it. Done.
Thriving, not surviving.
I'm going to write it down. I'm going to get that tattooed on my arm.
Thriving, not surviving. I think that's
my next tattoo.
There you go. So with that said, as you mentioned before, and as I talked about before, we're looking forward to having a special edition series launching here in the next round of this podcast. And then we will go from there. But until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.